This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to another episode of the Referee's World podcast. Admittedly, there's been a long gap between episodes with myself, Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee with Somerset forgot what I'm doing. It's been that long, Rich. I'm a level 5 referee with Somerset FA, and this is my mentor and my man that basically teaches me everything I need to know on the field of play. This is Rich Mellon. Hello, Rich.
Hi, Darren.
This has been a long time.
It's been a long time. I've missed you.
Mate, I'm getting emotional already.
Yeah,
whatever.
Okay, let's crack on.
Yeah, okay. So just to explain, apologies for the lengthy delay in between this and our last podcast. I think it's fair to say personal issues have really taken over here, Rich.
Yeah, we've both had personal issues, you know, and this is what is our priority, really, mm-hmm. isn't it? You know, football is our beloved hobby,
yeah.
If that's the correct word to use. Hobby is a little bit more, it's a bit soft, really, but we are all passionate about our football mm-hmm. refereeing, and you and I, mixed with many, many thousands of others around the world, are passionate about our refereeing, but life has priorities.
Absolutely. And it's been a case of, like Richard said, various personal changes. All for the better, I hasten to add. But anyway, we're back. And hopefully, you're there listening as well. So in that period of time that we've been away, I've noticed just periodically that we've picked up a considerable amount of followers for people following us on Twitter, at Referees World. People sort of coming on to us that have still discovering our podcast and pretty much starting from the beginning, you know, from when we started a couple of years ago.
Hugely encouraging to know that people are still picking us up.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
We're now coming up, it will be November.
Two years.
Two years, I think.
No, I think it's three.
All three, okay.
Three years, I think. Yeah, yeah. Pretty sure.
Let's haggle.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Coming up then in this episode, we're going to be discussing match fees. We'll talk a match incident from a chap from Canada. Assaults on referees. This is quite a disturbing one, this one. And the fact that it's been discussed and talked about by MPs in the Houses of Parliament. We're going to do a random training topic. Rich has got this rather cool-looking packet of cards. I suppose it's a bit more than a packet of cards, but a very smart one, which is provided by the FA. And I'm just going to randomly pick one of those cards and we'll discuss some of the topics on there. We've got some news from West Somerset RA. And of course, we'd like to hear from you if your RA is doing some stuff. Obviously, we're based in Somerset, so we do have a little bit of news. But if you do have something you want to share with us, please do. We've got a question to talk about Law 16. And we've got some referee funding news from the Somerset County League. That's all to come on this, a long-awaited Referees World podcast. Rich.
Hey, here we are. Let's go for it. One of those things you talked about was the local RA in particular. One that's close to us is the West Somerset RA.
Yeah.
For those that are non-RA members, I'd like to think that you'll consider becoming a member of the RA. This is not me talking on behalf of the RA, but me talking to all our colleagues as a referee. I can't imagine how you're going to be successful without the support of your RA locally and nationally.
And there are so many benefits for this as well.
Yes, there are. Lots of good training topics, lots of good debate, lots of interaction as regards those problems that we have at times with as a referee when we're out there on the green stuff running around, you know. We do need to have something in our in our thoughts as regards how we're going to sort those issues out when we, you know, when we're out there. But we need to be prepared for it
because it's a good way of getting things off your chest. Because look, as referees, we've all had bad games. You don't improve your performance as a referee unless you have a bad game because you learn from it. And it can be very difficult. It can be very lonely. And if you've got nobody to talk to about these things, being part of the RA can really, really help that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if I use my own personal situation, many years ago when I first started off refereeing, I had a bad experience whereby I made a decision which I thought was a penalty kick. It wasn't by the say-so of the players, and they told me in no short manner. But it was a penalty kick. I gave it. The result ended up as 7-0. And the team that won 7-0 were those that were moaning about the penalty kick.
That's ridiculous,
so it doesn't make sense. Yeah. But that's how football is. That's the passion of football. But that evening, I said that was enough. Went back to the changing room, chucked my boot in the bag, boots in the bag.
I know it's been a long time,
Rich.
It's
been a long time. I chucked my boots in the bag, said that was no more, chucked the whistle in the bin, and would never referee again. But went out that evening with a few friends in Taunton, and we went and had a function with the Taunton RA, and I was a member of Bridgewater at the time. We had a couple of beers. My friends and colleagues started talking me round, said, hey, we've all had those experiences. Mm. We've all had those moments when we want to chuck the whistle in the bin and do no more refereeing. And they didn't twist my arm, but they gave me some sound advice. And I think that's what RA members do. They pass on their experiences and their guidance. And that's what provided me.
And not only that, an RA can put on a good night for you as well. I mean, I think of the good nights that we've had at the RA that we're both part of and connected to, you know, guest speakers that you can learn from.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just about attending meetings really though, Dad. I mean, you look at the social side of what we've done as we previously were Bridgewater RA before we amalgamated with our colleagues in Taunton. We did bowling evenings, we did tenpin bowling, skittles, we visited our colleagues in Western, we played rounders. So there was a social event, not just for referees, but referees and their families. And that's what it becomes. It becomes an extension of your family. And you get your partners involved and you get the children involved. You do treasure hunts and things like that. And all sorts of things, race nights to raise funds. It's a lot more than just refereeing on a Saturday or a Sunday. It goes beyond that. And it does become a nice part of your social life as well.
And of course there are benefits in terms of, well, insurance benefits can be gained through being part of the RA.
Yeah.
Not massive, but there's little things that could sort of help you out.
Yeah, I mean, I've known, not intentionally, but I've known kit bags to be stolen, you know, and we all go into clubhouses at times and we all chuck our bags into the corner there and there's a mass pile of bags and somebody leaving a little bit earlier than what you might picks up your bag. And has taken your bag home and, you've lost your kit as a referee. And somebody said, well, I'm not going to give the referee his kit back and tell him I nicked it because that's not the truth. Yeah. But what they do is just bin the stuff. They don't want it and you lose your kit.
Yeah, but,
so you've got coverage, insurance coverage for that type of thing. Mm-hmm. If you have your kit stolen, lost, or even, and it's a very careful situation I want to talk about, but if you were to have an accident driving and woe be tied, you don't. But
on the way to a game,
you can have a bump to and from the game, and you know you have all sorts of coverage there. So you know there are benefits, huge benefits beyond just attending meetings to be a member of the RA.
So definitely worth doing it, and
strongly recommend it.
The RA have undergone some changes over the last 12 months, haven't they? There's been a change at the top.
Continual changes.
Changes.
And there will be more. There will be more changes. And like I say, I don't have all that information to hand at the moment. But, you know, in the next 6 weeks, the National RA will be having their conference. That's at the Barcello Hotel in Hinckley. I think it's changed its name. I think it might be the Puma Hotel now. But I'll still call it the Barcello because that's how I remember it. But, the National RA are changing the face again. And they're still out there supporting referees. And I just ask all those referees out there, listening, consider becoming a member. And if you're an overseas person listening to the podcast, why not become an overseas member? So you know you can be associated member through that. As far as I'm aware, that's how it was previously. So make your inquiries and let's see if we can all help each other out.
It's the referees. Oh, sorry, go on.
Oh, I was going to mention the new West Somerset RA.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
They had their AGM the other night, and I just want to give some accreditation to the new chairman, David Steele. David's got some great ideas, supported by...
I had heard a whisper that Dave was... the new chairman, so well done, Dave.
Yeah, good luck, David. Mike Morgan is his secretary. Michael's a very, very competent secretary, and his professional background supports that.
Yeah.
Then he's got Brian Lee.
My little orange friend.
Yeah. I'll be careful here. No, I won't. He's a ginger.
Yeah.
So I think everybody knows that. But Brian's come into the fray, and he's keen to get involved, which is, you know, another useful volunteer to have there. He's going to take the position.
And well
treasurer.
Done, by the way, to a couple of those that have both been promoted this season. Brian's got his level 4.
Yeah.
And I understand Mike got his level 5.
Yes, he did.
So
yeah.
Well done, guys.
Yeah. And they both had County Cup finals this year.
Yeah. Yeah, well deserved. Yeah,
so
well deserved.
They've worked hard through that last season. Yeah. And this is some successes of the West Somerset RA. Youth representative, and we've created a youth section. within the West Somerset RA. That's going to be led by Kieran Sammons.
All right, okay.
And Kieran's going to be contacting youth referees locally around our catchment to try and encourage them to come along to meetings and take it up from there and see if they can gain more interest and confidence in becoming referees within the adult game.
Well done, Sticky.
Yeah, Sticky. Phil, training officer is Phil Willis. Phil's got a great wealth of experience that he brings as an assessor as previously an active referee. And that's really the structure of West Somerset RA in a quick summary.
Phil's the man that was responsible for telling me to do that and raise my arms in the advantage and not out in front of me. Phil, you're binned in now, mate. I know he's a good mate of yours.
Name and shame. Yeah. Name and shame.
Right, okay. Listen, if you're if you'd like any info passed on with what your local RA is doing, please get in touch with us through the website refereesworld.co.uk. Look at that, I remembered it after all that time.
Well done, Dan.
And of course, you can tweet us, follow us on Twitter at refereesworld.
Yeah, let's talk about the unsavoury subject of assaults upon referees.
Yeah, this is a bit disturbing. Admittedly, as part of the reason why we haven't done much in the way of podcasting over the last few months or so, personal commitments and all, I've kind of found myself a bit out of the loop, slightly. And before we started to record this tonight, Rich brought this subject up. Now, I had heard one or two things going on in the background, but just hearing of some of these instances are pretty severe, Rich.
Yeah, this is an unsavoury side of being a match official. And let's not talk just about football referees. I think this is a little bit further afield than just football referees. But we'll focus on our particular little part of the camp here. And on the 4th of June this year, I read on the BBC News that the assaults upon football referees was being discussed by the MPs, the members of Parliament in the UK. In the UK. Now, football referees who are attacked should be dealt with more harshly by police and the courts, an MP has told the Commons. Now, this MP, he's MP in Daventry. He's a 33-year-old and a qualified referee active. So, you know, we've got someone in our camp here actually looking to make sure that there is some form of justice being applied for people that decide that they will assault a referee in whichever way they do it. Mm. So, you know, there was a colleague in Northern Ireland who was assaulted, a young colleague who was assaulted in Northern Ireland, and that's sad to hear. But so it just highlights that it's not just in this country, but I have seen video footage on YouTube of referees being chased and harassed and all sorts of things. So, you know,
Some of which getting a good kicking as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not very nice at all. But we got to be strong. We got to stay together and we got to, you know, defend our corner as such you know, make sure that when we are put in that position is that we deal with it as properly as what we possibly can, even involve the police. If you're physically assaulted or, you know, verbally threatened, et cetera, I would recommend that you talk to a policeman and seek some guidance and advice, but also use your local RA. We're going back to that one. Mm-hmm. Use your local RA and they will dig in there and give you some help as well and encouragement and support.
See, it's a tough one, particularly if you're a new referee and you're out on the field on your own. You've got nobody there to support you or to even watch over you to a certain degree. Because let's be honest about it. If, as a referee, you went and reported it, the chances are it's going to be your word against theirs, because no member of a football team is going to pretty much go against their mates, are they?
No.
You know, it's whether it's right or it's definitely wrong, but
yeah, there are those questionable, situations where players support each other and whatever they do. But that's down to them, and that is then placed in the hands of the disciplinary people at the county FAs to sift through and sort it out. And all we ask our colleagues to do is make sure that your reports are good. And they stand up, they've got some good facts, they're not too fluffy with irrelevant information. And, you know, when they're submitted to the county FAs, the RDO will oversee it, he will note it, he will deal with it, and this is the same for all RDOs. They will take those assaults seriously, I guarantee you that, and you can quote me, they will be taken seriously. That they have got to be sorted out, and we've got to, you know, stop this.
Do you ever hear of an incident where a referee has thought, OK, I'm going to stand up to this and defend themselves in a manner of speaking?
I don't personally know anybody that has stood up and what can one say?
Retaliated.
Retaliated. Yeah, I haven't known anybody personally, but I know one or two colleagues that could do it.
Mm.
There are some real there are some real skyscrapers.
I was going to say there's some big blokes out there.
Oh, there are some big units out there in refereeing.
Howard Webb always springs to mind because he's not the sort of person you would want to really argue with, is he?
Howard has fortunately got the law on his side because he's a police sergeant
copper,
himself.
Yeah.
So back at grassroots level, there are local referees around here, 6'4", 6'5", and they're about 16 stone, and they're big lads. They would not look out of place if they were put in the scrum. In fact, they might even look a bit too small for the scrummage in rugby union. But, those guys, all I would say is, I think if we very briefly close this one quickly, Dad, we've all stood in front of a player who's been rude, abusive, offensive towards us. We've all wanted to poke him in the eye, if you know what I mean.
Yeah? That's a great phrase. I like that.
I've stood in front of some big centre forwards and big centre halves, and look, you know me, I'm a 5'6" little dwarf referee, in a nicest way, if you get the picture.
A little munchkin.
But I've stood in front of some
shorts look like trousers.
I've got to get them above.
We may
the
have
knee
been away
day.
For a while, Rich, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to take the mick.
I've got to get my shorts above my knees one day, But
do that.
That will happen in time. But when you stand in front of these big units that have given you a bit of jip, they've said their piece in front of you, and they've told you what they think about your decision. I've gone up to them and I've stood in front of them and I've often thought, I want to poke him in the eye, literally. But you've got the laws of the game
and the land
in your back pocket. Yeah. And you use those laws of the game. As it says, in the opinion of the referee, if a player is abusive, you shall send him from the field of play. If a player is guilty of violent conduct, you shall send him from the field of play. That doesn't come down to any more than just interpret it accurately and get on with it and do the business, then report it. So, we all get into those situations where we want to sort of take our own retaliation, but we should not do that. That's a dead cert. We should not do that. I just want to say, finishing on the assaults, there was a prosecution against a person who was jailed, and I'm pleased to report this one. It was the end of last year, or towards the end of last year, a player by the name of James Barnett, and I'll name and shame him because he was the referee that headbutted one of our colleagues.
He was a player that headbutted one of the colleagues.
Yes, in the West Drayton area. Yeah. And he headbutted a referee, and that's a very, very nasty assault. And I just hope our colleague was given all the support that he possibly could get. But it is pleasing to see that these prosecutions are carried out. But it's got to stop. I'm not here to talk about, how many more prosecutions there should be, but we just want to reduce this. And let's see if competent refereeing might help it as well.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
It's the Referee's World podcast. We're back after a considerable absence, so thank you for bearing with us. In fact, while we're recording this, I have tweeted to say we're back, we're recording now, and already Ross at RefChat has responded and stuck his tongue out for us on Twitter. So,
hello, Ross.
His response was about bleeding time as well. So, Ross, thanks very much, mate. Nice to know you're still there. I've got to say hello to Paul Bell as well, who back in May was querying us where we'd gone, and we apologise again. But we're back now, so we're kind of a bit more focused, and hopefully through the summer months of 2013, because obviously there are podcasts out there that we've done in the past that are 18 months, 2 years old now, that could possibly sound slightly out of date. So hopefully that's not going to put you off the skills that you're going to learn from what we're talking about, because they will carry through whatever. They're not dated in terms of their time. So if you want to listen online, you can at refereesworld.co.uk. You can follow us on Twitter at refereesworld. And I have to say, we're in a brand spanking new studio, which is partly one of the reasons why we haven't been about, because me on a personal level, I've been sort of building my own radio station. We're finally on air. And the radio station is called Tone FM. It's based in Taunton in Somerset. If you want to like us and follow us that way, you can. Just go to the website, tonefm.co.uk. And I can use my own studio in the radio station now, Rich.
It's lovely in here, Darren. It's a little bit warm, but
it's cozy. Very little bit
it's
warm.
Cozy.
It's cozy.
And it's nice. It's very modern feeling. And good luck to you on this. I know you put a lot of hours into this and you deserve every piece of
thank you.
Success that you can come.
So you can now listen to my breakfast show, if you like, which is weekdays between 7 and 9 on Tone FM. Right, I've got the plug out of the way. Okay. We need to move on. I reckon we do the training topic.
Okay, the training topics is at your discretion.
Yeah, okay.
There you are. There's a selection of training topics.
Okay.
Now,
shall I just randomly close my eyes?
Randomly, randomly, you can pick a card.
It is literally like a magician's trick here.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. There we go.
Right, okay. I'm not looking around, just having a chumble of the cards and whatever card that is. Read that one out.
Okay, you want to talk about before the game. Oh, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, yeah.
What a good place to start.
Yeah, yeah, good.
Oh, it's meant to be.
That is meant to be. It's all fitting into place.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, so what do you do before the game then, Dara?
Well, admittedly, because of circumstances involving around building the radio station and everything, I've not been on games for a while. So this may take a bit of a while. But actually saying that, back in just before the season finished, I managed to squeeze one random game in. And do you know what's really weird? It was the first game that I'd done since it was probably the end of October.
You rang me up and you were nervous.
I was nervous. I was nervous.
Local league match.
It was.
And you were nervous.
And yeah, I was nervous, and I was concerned about, you know, and it was one of those games where there was no pressure involved. You know, the leagues had been decided. One of the teams had been promoted anyway. The other team were third or fourth, I think. But they still played a good game of football. Mm. And it's funny, you know, it just slotted into place. It just all come back to you.
Yeah.
So in terms of before the game, suited and booted.
Okay.
I check with the teams, obviously.
Do you have to be suited and booted?
I don't have to be, but I always make it. I don't feel comfortable unless I go suited and booted.
If you were doing Division 5 Taunton District, would you be suited and booted? Would the facilities allow you to wear suited and boot?
Okay, admittedly, it would mean changing in a toilet somewhere, but I always go suited and booted.
Oh, that's your standards.
Fair play to you.
Sometimes facilities don't allow, you know, to go there, you know, well dressed. What about a polo shirt and slacks?
Yeah, I agree. I probably over-egg the pudding, but it's just what I've always done. I've always gone. That's how I was taught from the word go. From Roger Milford, he always said to me, always go respectable, and I always did do from day one.
Who was that you were talking about?
Roger Milford.
What?
The Roger Milford. The Silver Fox.
The Silver Fox.
The Foxmeister, yeah. Who was the person that persuaded me to get into this.
He's now looking after level fours for the Gloucestershire Football Association.
Is he?
Yeah, he's academy coordinator for level fours.
Well, good luck to them.
If I can get a word in.
I can say that because I've got a very good relationship with Roger.
Yeah, if they can get a word in.
If they can get a word in.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, so let's go before the game then. Now, you've received an appointment.
So I get given the appointment. Before the appointment, obviously, check the calendar, check the dates, make sure it's free. Yes, it's free. Confirm the appointment with the league secretary, drop a little email to the teams.
Okay. Email, telephone,
email, telephone.
Card.
Yeah, absolutely, that kind of stuff. The admin stuff, I call it.
Okay, yeah. Well, let me go back on something you made mention of. Checked if the diary's free.
Mm-hmm.
Should you have not checked to see if you got closed dates? What about closed dates?
Well, I know I wouldn't have had any because because the date that I was given was a Wednesday midweek.
Okay, so if you're if you're not available, you're going to tell them available.
Yeah.
So having received the fixture, you're going to acknowledge
I'd had the phone call from the league secretary and I said, yes, in principle, it's a yes, I'll do it. Obviously, I went back to the diary, I checked it and then confirmed it on an email to make it official.
Okay.
Because I think I copied you in on that one as well.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
So, then went to the teams. Hi, guys, I should be in charge. Done the checks, spoke to them both, that kind of thing.
What sort of checks? How do you do your checks?
I sort of go through the book, find out kit colours and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, competition rules?
Yeah, competition rules, just to make sure, just to polish up really, because I'd been sat on the back seat for a while.
Cup match or league match?
Yeah, absolutely.
It
was a league match, so I knew it was, like I say, a pretty much run-of-the-mill match, let's say. Although, no game should be treated as a run-of-the-mill match, because when you let your guard down, that's when things go wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't treat it like that.
Yeah. What about kickoff time? What sort of time did you give yourself as regards preparation?
I learned from a lesson that I had at the beginning of last season, the Bishop's Lydia game, where I didn't allow too much time. And we had to end the game early because of light closing in. So that was a lesson learned for me on that one. And it was a 6:30 kickoff. 6:30 kickoff.
Okay. So coming up to the new season beginning in August for some of us, and then the larger majority for referees at grassroots in September. You've got a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of timing would you give yourself for preparation and arrival at the ground?
Well, for the last couple of years, I've been on the Somerset County League, so I always give myself 90 minutes, always get to the ground an hour and a half. I don't think I need to go that far. However, that's just how I prepared myself, and that's part of my sort of routine, really.
Okay. So if you were not in the County League, but you were in the Taunton and District, say Division 3, say out at Staple Grove, what sort of timing? Knowing that nobody's going to likely to be there an hour before the game, what timing would you have?
Generally about an hour. There's times when
so
I've sat in the
car park.
So you
trim it accordingly, don't you?
Yeah. I sit there because I like to get into the zone that we get into. And if I'm sat in the car for 10, 15 minutes, then so be it. It gives me a chance just to sort of, you know, have the radio on in the background, just listening to what's going on around the country. Look through the books, look through the rules, just catch up on a couple of things. Yeah. I don't know. It's just my way of getting into the... My missus calls it football anxiety, because on a Saturday, I know that at sort of 10 o'clock, 10:30, I'm in the shower, getting showered and changed and this, that and the other. By about 11:30, I'm pretty much ready to go out the door, and I'm pacing a bit by then.
What sort of mood do you think you might be in then? Because every referee that's listening to this podcast has those moments on match day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's relate to those moments.
Kerry calls it football anxiety. And like I say, 11:30, 11:45 on match days, I'm generally pacing because I'm just thinking, I'm ready now. I'm ready a lot earlier than I should have been. But, you know, and I'm generally ready to walk out the door at sort of 12.
On match day then, talking about football anxiety, what are your do's and don'ts? What are your do's? What do you do on a match day which you feel is a good habit, because that's what we do have. We do have habits. Habits and routines.
Match day, I tend to check my bag twice.
Ah, good point. Let me just say to you...
One before I'm walking out the door, because I've always got that thing going, right, I just need to check, double check again.
Yeah, absolutely. Because let me just say, I'm not going to name and shame the young referee, but we had a County Cup final recently, and the assistant referee turned up with no boots.
Ouch. Not the day to turn out with boots.
County Cup final. He was an assistant referee in a County Cup final. He had no boots, so he did not run the line. He became fourth official with a pair of oversized boots there, and he was stood on the touchline, you know, as fourth official.
There's a lesson. I'll tell you what, that person won't, whoever that is, won't do that again.
He will never do it again. And you only do it once. We only make that mistake once, and we never go back there again.
Because you don't always get the cup finals given to you either. So.
Yeah, but referees, I just want to say to you, referees, please pack your own bag. Mm-hmm. Don't rely upon your partner, your wife, your husband, or your mum and dad. Mm. Because if you don't pack it, you could fall flat, become embarrassed by it. And I do know other colleagues, and I could tell other stories about that. But packing your own bag,
I know
is
level three and a level four that's done that.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe another podcast.
Alan, then. We told about this that day when we were doing that.
Smithy, Alan Smithy. Smith. Yeah. Oh, I got down the motorway. Yes. Yeah. Alan Smith, guilty.
Shame. Yeah. So moving on.
Nail him up.
So where are we now? Yeah. I double check my bag, and I always make sure that I've got Jaffa cakes.
Why do you like Jaffa cakes then? What does that do?
Jaffa cakes, it's just that, it's that little bit of carb.
Right, okay.
Because I don't eat on match day. I have a bit of toast in the morning, but I don't.
So you're not fueling yourself before
the game? No, I fuel myself
the
night before, but I fuel myself with bananas and a bit of toast. I find it very difficult to perform on a heavy stomach.
Okay.
I know people that run the line in the Premiership, and you know this person very well, that will go and have a Big Mac before every game. I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, that's true. I do know that person. But all I want to say to our colleagues is, in preparation for your game, is make sure you eat and drink.
Drink
sufficiently,
I drink a lot.
To make sure that you can, you know, competently run around without any stomach pain.
And we have
like
talked
that.
About this on many podcasts before. I do consume quite a lot of liquids.
Yeah, I think that's hugely important, especially as regards to the early part of the season when, you know, temperatures are still warm, and even those colleagues are out across the world, they are running around in heat all the time. Mm. So they obviously do hydrate themselves. But I just want us to think about our own hydration here in the UK. Okay, so you arrive at the ground. Yep. What do you do?
Arrive at ground, go and introduce myself to the club secretary, the groundsman, just let them know we're here, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Dunk the stuff off in the changing room.
Mm-hmm.
Just try and be a bit chatty and converse with people and let them know here we are, find out what's going on around the club, that kind of thing. And then I just go for a little wander on my own first.
What do you
of all.
Do when you're on your wander then, as you call that?
I do like a pre-match check of the ground, really.
Okay, what are you checking then?
Checking to see, if there's any dog poo, basically.
Yeah.
Checking to make sure that everything's how it should be.
Nets?
At that point, they're still putting the nets up, they're still putting the flags out.
Mm-hmm.
So I do the check there, and it's just like a preliminary check, because when I'm out doing my warm-up, I'll do another check.
What's the main features that you're looking for then, Dad? As regards, one-word answer.
Nets, obviously.
Begins with S.
Now you've
ends with to... Y.
I don't know, you've stumped me.
Safety.
Safety, yeah. Make sure the pitch is clear. So broken bottles, tin cans on the pitch,
yep.
In extreme cases, syringes, which do happen.
Yeah.
The safety side of things. Potholes in the pitch, for example.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Out in the country, in deepest Somerset, we've got some lovely facilities out at Dulverton and Porlock, but they are open to the wildlife out there, and rabbits scuff around. You know,
well, in the centre of Bristol, open to badgers.
Oh, there you go.
So, St George in not St George. Not St George. They're now playing. They're now playing at Almondsbury because their ground is not fit.
Oh, right, okay.
Roman Glass.
I know what you mean.
Roman Glass.
Yeah. We won't talk about the Badger Cull in Somerset or
no, no, let's
will
not.
We? Let's
no.
move on. Let's no. move on. Okay, but, so you've done your checks around the field of play.
Mm-hmm.
What about before the game? What you would have checked team colours, because you've mentioned that already.
Would have done
so,
it before.
So what about your equipment checks? How do you go about that? Any suggestions?
Well, generally, though, at that point, I'll probably go and get into my training kit. And just make sure again that I've got everything that I'll need to.
Mm-hmm.
Warm up top, go out and then just go out and start to
players equipment. What are you going to do about that? When are you going to do that?
Well, officially I would do it just before kickoff, but when I'm out warming up, I'll just have a check to see what the players are wearing and how they've set themselves up, because that's a good opportunity to say, look lads, let's not do it when we're just about to go out and kick off, let's sort it out now, kind of thing. You know, check their shorts, their undershorts. Just just let them know, give them a heads up, kind of thing.
What about boots? When would you check the boots are compliant?
I would generally check the boots. I would do that as the pre-match check, sort of 10 minutes before.
Were you worried about checking the substitutes' boots?
Yeah, I check them all.
What, before the game?
Check them all before
even
the game.
Even the substitutes.
Mm-hmm.
What if the substitute was to change his boots?
Because when I do a substitute, I'll check again.
Ah, good man. Thanks, Darren.
So I always check, do two checks.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And one of them, the most important thing that you'll need before you go out into the field of play?
Is a ball, obviously.
Hey.
Make sure that the ball is the correct tyre pressure.
Compliant
tyre pressure?
Tyre pressure. It's been a long time, Dan.
Long time, baby. Long time.
It's been a long time. Yeah, compliant with Law 2.
Yeah.
The ball. Make sure it's compliant and it's safe. Mm-hmm. You know, have you got a replacement, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and enter the field of play and off we go.
Yeah.
Nice strong whistle to start the game before the game starts. There we go. Quite easy, Dad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Little bit of revision.
It is a bit of revision and it does come back. It's bizarre and there are many referees probably listening to this that, like us, have been out of the game for a while and have slipped back into it. I mean, before I joined Somerset FA, I've been out of the game for a couple of years. And then I remember my first game was on the Taunton Town ground, and it was Taunton Town Reserves that were known as Taunton Blackbrook at the time, against Langford Rovers, who are, again, a tasty team. And I hadn't done a game for a couple of seasons. And I think to say that the phrase blowing up my arse was probably polite, but I was, because I was very much unfit.
Yeah, that little thing that we've just discussed, Dad, is one of 10 cards that we'll run through.
I think we do that as a regular thing. I think that's quite quite a good little test.
It works.
Pack of cards.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. We're back after a considerable absence, and hopefully you're buying right back into what we're talking about. And moving on, match fees. Let's discuss match fees.
Ooh. Ooh, very, very debatable subject.
Yeah, we could go quite a while with this one.
Yeah, what prompted me to think about this as a debating point was the fact that I noticed that the Bundesliga, for those of you that are not familiar with the Bundesliga, that's the National League in Germany, they've just increased their payments for referees. So I thought, okay, that's a debatable topic for any referee, not just the Bundesliga in this case, but that's what prompted me to sort of pose it. What influenced you into becoming referee, Da?
Again, we've already talked about the Silver Fox in this particular episode. At the time, I was particularly close to him on a personal level. I was playing local football and I used to come back moaning about being kicked about all over the place and one thing and another. And he said, oh, just take out the whistle. And I wasn't interested. And I eventually decided to take my course, got my grades, got my qualification, and then went out there and did it and never looked back since. I loved it. I really loved it.
Were you ever influenced by the match fees?
Oh, no.
Didn't become. It's not your motivation.
No, for me, I just love football. I knew that I was a dreadful footballer. I knew that I could get out on the pitch. I could keep myself fit. And the phrase, a little bit of beer money was used, but it was never really it was never really, because I know there are referees that will do it for the money.
Yeah, there are referees that do it for match fees, and I've got nothing against that, because what it is doing, it is supporting football, and we do get coverage of a match official at games. But what I would ask is, those colleagues are out there that do Saturday mornings, Saturday afternoons, mm-hmm. Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons, that's a lot of match fees. And I'd just say to you, yeah, take your match fee. Accept the responsibility as well, though. You know, you do have a duty as a match official. If you accept that fee, you accept the responsibility. Yeah. And, like, you know, if I talk about the Taunton area, four games of a weekend, the Saturday, Sunday, mornings and afternoons, that can generate somewhere in the region between £80 and £100. Now, that will vary up and down the country, mm-hmm. and it will vary around the world. But please, I just want to say, referees, don't be motivated by money alone. Please give the performance that the players deserve.
I think as well, if you are motivated by the money and you do too many games, then you probably become a bit stale. I mean, I've been guilty of doing too many games over a period of time. Not for the money. I did it because it was end of season. You know, you're doing three or four games a week and you can start to feel a bit stagnant. But if you are doing it for the money, when you start to feel stagnant, you're going to start thinking to yourself, oh God, here we go again, another game, this, that and the other. And you're not going to give it your best performance. And that's not fair on the teams.
Exactly. Exactly one of my points. The other point I was going to say was, I've seen referees who are willing to take the match fees, but they don't go out there and they don't look the part. Now, having taken the match fees, surely some of your match fee goes towards your personal appearance mm-hmm. and your kit. But I see referees out there refereeing some games, midweek situations, whereby they just, unless I knew that they were the referee, because I know who they are and I look at and I watch them, they don't look the part in terms of wearing the right type of kit. And there are variations of it. And, you know, in this country, it is the black, predominantly black kit with white trim.
Or grey trim, depending on.
Or grey trim if you've got a dodgy washing machine. Right? Yeah. But, you know, all I want my colleagues to think about is, you know, accept the match fee. Take the responsibility, look the part. Please look the part. There are some, you know, decent match fees floating around, and I know some clubs, you know, will pay, you know, they want referees out there. So go out there and do it justice if you accept that match fee.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
So there you go. It's not all about the beer money. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. It's the Referees World podcast with myself, Darren Cullum, and Richard Mellon. You can listen online, refereesworld.co.uk. I nearly gave the radio station's name again. See, I'm getting my head back into it. Refereesworld.co.uk. You can listen on iTunes as well. Just go to iTunes and search for Referees World. You can download all the podcasts that you like. And we've had quite a few over the last couple of years or so. So we continue now. We've done our training topic and stuff. Let's look at that question in Law 16.
The question in Law 16. Let me find it, Dad, because I was expecting to talk about David Figliano's question.
Let's talk about David Figliano then.
Okay, let's...
Go on then.
Thank you, mate.
So we're busking our way through this one.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just finding our feet a bit.
David Figliano, he's a qualified referee from Toronto in Canada. Hi, David. Thanks very much for your question. he wants a little bit of clarification and some answers, or an answer at least. A goalkeeper hanging from the crossbar saves a shot on goal with his foot. What's the call?
Great question. That's a good one to... I tell you what we could do. We could tweet that one.
Yeah.
Let's tweet that one.
Okay.
And see what we get.
Okay. The question is, a goalkeeper hanging from the crossbar saved a shot on goal with his foot. What is the call by the referee?
Yeah, so we've typed this one out. We're going to tweet this one whilst we're doing the programme and see what responses we get, because that's a great question. I like that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those instances where you just would never dream of it happening because you don't think about it. Your brain's not in that place, is it?
No, but if you think about certain things involving goalkeepers, remember the scorpion kick a few years ago at Wembley?
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
I can't remember the goalkeeper.
Yeah, the Colombian guy.
He was Colombian. I was going to say South American, but Colombian goalkeeper. He done the scorpion kick. You know, is that a trick? Was it a save?
Well, they'd blown the whistle for a free kick or something, but the ball was coming over, so he just relaxed. So it wasn't actually in play. And he obviously knew that he could do it. Mm. So a nice bit of showboating, but absolute corker.
Yeah, absolutely. Very athletic.
Just going back to that question you posed, whilst we've been talking, we've had a tweet here from, it looks like Aristides. They say, or he says, or she says, carry on. Carry on the game.
Okay. That's an understandable answer. However, this highlights reasons why we should review the laws of the game. Mm-hmm. Because under this particular area, the goalkeeper is guilty of unsporting behaviour, and the restart is an indirect free kick, subject to circumstances in Law 8. So refer to Law 8 if you're not sure what that means. After combing through the laws of the game and discussing the scenario with other officials, David changed his mind and concluded that he should have sent the goalkeeper off for Dogso.
Really?
Denial of a goal-scoring opportunity.
Oh, if it was heading into the goal, then why not?
But surely the goalkeeper is allowed to make a save.
Yeah, but doesn't that go down the route of, a player sticking their hand out and stopping it with their hand?
Okay. Denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity is by hand, mm-hmm. which we know about, or by infringing an opponent mm-hmm. or impeding an opponent, yeah? So in this case, I don't think that denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity is applicable. OK, but it's certainly it's regarded as unsporting behaviour. And if you look in laws of the game, there are interpretations in there which give you guidance along this sort of thing. So, just to help David, his decision to caution the goalkeeper for unsporting behaviour was correct.
We've just had a tweet from David Cryer. Says probably award an indirect free kick and caution on safety and circumventing the laws.
Oh,
literally, that came through as you were saying that.
There you go.
David,
well done,
brilliant.
David.
Well done.
Circumventing the laws. Circumvention of the laws. Oh, dear. Let's not go down that one. But correct answer. Correct answer there.
He's got a point, though, as it being a dog, so he's got a point.
Of course he has. Of course it's a valid point to consider. But look at the goalkeeper's, he is allowed to make genuine saves. Mm. Arguably, that's a genuine save. But on the laws of the game, it's regarded as unsporting behaviour for which he will be cautioned. That's the guidance and the laws as listed under FIFA's regulations.
Interesting.
It is good. But
have you ever seen that before?
I can't say I've seen it, but it's often been debated.
Yeah.
Been debated many, many times. What if? What if the goalkeeper does this? And goalkeepers have a tendency. I've never played in goal, not big enough to play in goal.
I was going
to
say.
And if I did, I'm not tall enough to touch the crossbar.
But, I was going to say, you'd never be able to do it, would you?
You'd
need a step ladder in there.
Yeah. I think we need to call out the fire brigade to help me out there. Yeah. But if any of our colleagues have played in goal, you'll know some of the habits that goalkeepers have got. They have this thing about before kickoff or just as the referee's about to, they jump, touch the crossbar and all sorts of things, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, that's goalkeepers are
or
a
kick
strange
the post
breed.
Or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, they're always tapping the post with their boots and that. But good question, David. Thanks very much. Hopefully that's given you some guidance. The goalkeeper is allowed to make saves and he wouldn't be regarded as denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity.
Brilliant. We cleared that one up. And thanks very much for your email. If you want to get in touch, you can through the website refereesworld.co.uk.
This is Referees World. Listen online at refereesworld.co.uk or search iTunes for Referees World.
Right. OK, let's move on to this question in Law 16 that we were talking about just now.
Yeah, OK. Let me talk about procedures and infringements under Law 16, the goal kick. If a goal kick... Oh, sorry. If a player was taken a goal kick correctly deliberately plays a ball a second time when the ball has left the penalty area before another player has touched it, an indirect free kick is awarded to the opposing team from the position where the second touch occurred. Agree?
Yep.
Okay. However, if the player touches the ball with his hand, he must be penalised with a direct free kick and disciplinary sanction if required. Because direct free kick is handball.
Handball.
Okay, so he's handled the ball. Right. If an opponent enters the penalty area before the ball is in play and is fouled by a defender, what happens?
Do you know what? That's a very good question. Another very good question. Are you trying to trip me up again, Rich?
No, I'm not trying to trick you up, Dan.
Knowing I'm a little rusty around the edges?
No, I don't play tricks.
Okay, well, surely that's an off-the-ball incident, isn't it?
Okay, let's just go back then.
So
a goal kick is about to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
If an opponent enters the penalty area before the ball is in play and is fouled by a defender, what happens? Think. Think basic law. Goal kick. What has to happen?
Ball has to be in play.
Yeah. So what when is it judged that the ball is in play?
Once it's been kicked and it's left the goal area.
Penalty area. Yeah, that's fine. So, okay, that's phase one. In this case, if the opponent has entered the penalty area before the ball is in play and is fouled by a defender, your decision is still going to be a goal kick. Because officially, the ball is not in play. However,
you would caution the defender.
If you think it was a cautionable offence, mm-hmm. but what if it was worse? What would you do?
Well, send him off.
Dismiss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Situations that we sometimes don't think about.
Mm.
The ball has to be in play. Yeah, yep. Agreed on this on occasions. But in this circumstance, the player, the attacker entered the penalty area before the ball was in play. He was fouled by the defender. The sanction is applicable because of the offence by the defender.
Mm-hmm.
Although the ball technically wasn't in play because it never came out of the penalty area. So think about the basics of law sometimes, and that's what gets you through these situations.
This is the Referee's World Podcast.
It's the Referee's World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. And we're pretty much coming to the end of this particular episode. Just one more little bit about what Somerset County League are going to be doing. They've received some funding. Rich, tell us more about this.
Yeah, the Somerset County League have got some very, very good funding, and I'll explain a little bit behind it, but this has been the brainchild of the County League. Secretary is Dave Braithwaite, former referee, does a bit of assessing, but he's Secretary of the County League. Rob Watkins is the referee's appointments, and Roy Penny is Chairman of the League. Recently had a meeting with the three guys, myself, Keith Buller, the Referee Development Officer. We had a meeting and we discussed how they want to use some funding that they've got to help to have assistant referees on the County Senior League Premier Division. And what they've come up with is that they are willing to fund the fee for a referees course for anybody in Somerset who's interested in taking up the referees course. And it's a £100 fee, so you can see there's some serious money involved here. And what they're asking for is that any referee that...
Gone up a few quid since I did it.
It has gone up a few pounds. Any referee that's potential referee who's interested in coming in to become a match official, if they would like to apply to Keith Buller, Referee Development Officer for Somerset, he'll put forward your name to the Somerset County League. They will pay your course fee, but in return, you have to pass the course and be willing to accept 2 games per month as an assistant referee on the County Premier Division for 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a really good way of encouraging new referees.
I think it is because...
Well, it's a good standard of football, let's be honest about it.
Oh, it's a seriously good standard of football.
So, you know, you're getting a really good taste of what it could possibly like for you further down the line.
Mm, yeah, I mean, literally the clubs that go from the County Senior League, they will go into Supply League.
Is this something that's been trialled at other FAs, local FAs, county FAs?
No, this is unique.
Right, okay.
At the moment, this is unique. I do think it will gain momentum in other counties.
How are you gonna enforce it, though? And what happens if after half a dozen games, the referee concerned has gone through his course or her course, and they decide, okay, I've had enough.
There is a clause whereby...
You've got to pay back.
Yes.
Right.
There is a clause whereby if you don't complete the 2 games per month for 2 seasons, then you will be expected to pay that money back or pay, you know...
But is that really going to happen?
I don't think so, because I think people that come forward for this type of thing are genuine.
Mm.
That's my
feeling. I'd like to think so.
Yeah, but it's a real good initiative.
Mm, I think so.
It's hopefully going to draw some more referees into the game. And like I say, the course is based upon receiving 2 appointments as an assistant referee. And what that qualified referee does the other Saturdays of the month is up to themselves. Mm. You know, that they may wish to go and referee in their local leagues. But in this unique case, the funding for the referees course, for these candidates who come forward, is being given by the Somerset County League. And I just applaud their idea and their initiative. And it is the only one that's on the go at the moment. It's the first one in the country. And I'm sure it'll take off with other people and other leagues. But good luck to Dave Braithwaite and his team. And let's see what happens on that.
And if you want more information on that, then if you want to get in touch with us, then we can pass on all the details. Or just Google Somerset FA and you can pick up the details that way.
Yeah, and contact Keith Buller, the referee
contact Keith
officer.
Buller.
Yeah.
Who's actually quite a decent bloke.
Yeah, he's a good chap.
Listen, Rich, it's been a pleasure being sat here opposite you again. It's a little hot in here, mind, isn't it?
It is warm in here, but, you know, it makes for cosy.
It does, yeah. And like I say, it's been a long time coming, but we're back on now. And now with things are slightly settled, we're going to try and get some more regular podcasting up and running for you here on Referees World. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you.
The download is complete.